Education Secretary Arne Duncan was on Capitol Hill this week explaining and in many cases defending the rewrite of No Child Left Behind. The Obama administration's new plan would, among other things, do away with the Bush-era requirement that all students perform at grade level in math and reading by 2014. Instead, it mandates that students be college or career ready by 2020. Well, we wanted to know what a school superintendent makes of that and the rest of the president's proposal, so we called Peter Gorman, superintendent of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Public Schools in North Carolina. Generally, he likes what he's heard, but he wants to hear more.
College or career ready, the definition of that we do think needs to be fleshed out. We expect all of our students when they graduate from high school to have options. Those options might be college, career, or the military, because without a high school education at a minimum, their chances of being gainfully employed just are non-existent. So what exactly does that definition mean? That's yet to be seen. But for us, it's all about making sure students have options when they leave school. And if they're not well educated, they don't have options.
When you look forward to that goal under No Child Left Behind of all students at grade level in reading and math by 2014, how would the schools in your system there in Charlotte be doing by 2014?
Well, we would not make that goal. We right now have one of our schools that had 100% of its assessed students proficient in math. It did not have 100% of its assessed students proficient in reading. We had only one of 176 schools that was completely proficient for all students in one subject. No other school was there. We would find it very difficult to expect that we would have all of the students in any school proficient in all assessed subjects by 2014.
You're saying none of your schools would reach that standard?
If the barometer is 100% proficient, none of our schools are on that path.
When you think about the schools in your district and you think about the ones that you know are at the bottom of the heap, say in the bottom 5%, what do you think the solution is there? And does it involve massive firings of staff?
Well, we have put in place a turnaround strategy, and our turnaround strategy does involve replacing staff. We replace the principal, the assistant principal, the literacy or academic facilitator, and we infuse a group of new teachers into that school. Some teachers do stay at the site, but we do believe in sending in turnaround teams, and that's been our strategy. We've done it 20 times so far, and we have had very positive outcomes from that.
You know, we're talking about this overhaul of education law in the midst of what is, for many districts, including your own, a financial crisis. You're in the process of figuring out pretty extreme budget cuts. Do you think it's possible to adjust to a new law in the midst of everything else that you have going on right there?
Well, we reduced our budget last year by over $90 million. We are planning right now to reduce our budget by anywhere from $68 to $80 million. Last year, our motto was do more with less. I don't know that I'm going to be able to say that next year, but we are going to have to make sure that we continue to move reform forward regardless of what the budget climate is.
You'll be talking about more crowded classrooms though, right? Fewer teachers for the same number of kids?
We will definitely have more crowded classrooms. We cannot do the reductions in the dollar amounts that we have to do without impacting classroom teachers, and we've got to be upfront about that with our community.
And do you think that's ever a recipe for improving student performance?
Well, I can tell you that incremental increases in class size do not automatically lower the quality of education. However, you have to be careful in looking at who you are removing from those classrooms. So that's why we are trying to strategically focus on the low performers to be the individuals that we remove from in the reduction in force.
And then I guess the flip side of that is how do you retain the good teachers if their class sizes are growing and teaching is becoming less and less pleasant?
Well, we've got a little bit of a false dichotomy there. In one way, we're keeping individuals because there's nowhere else to go, because there just aren't other districts that are hiring and able to bring individuals in. But we know that that is not the way to keep your best teachers from leaving. We do want to have small class sizes. We find first and foremost, if we can provide them with a great leader and the support, they're able to deal with that and handle those challenges. That's the first and foremost thing we try to do.
Well, Peter Gorman, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Peter Gorman is superintendent of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Public Schools. He spoke with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.